Welcome to Unlapped. It's officially race week. We've got you covered on everything you need to know for the opening Grand Prix of the 2024 season. And remember, please keep an eye out on ESPN's YouTube channel for our post-race show directly following the Bahrain Grand Prix. As always, Katie George, Nate Saunders, Lawrence Edmondson, who are both on the ground in Bahrain. Couple of quick breaking news points that we want to hit before we get into our Bahrain race preview. I'm sure people have seen on Twitter, on social media of any kind of form, that the Christian Horner situation is finally resolved following a lengthy Red Bull specific probe into the allegations made against him by a female employee. Red Bull has said that it has found no evidence of inappropriate behavior. Laz, I'll start with you. What was it like as this kind of unfolded on the ground in Bahrain today?
Well, it was a big waiting game. So we got wind that there was likely to be an announcement today, but we had heard, over the last couple of weeks that perhaps it will be concluded before testing, perhaps it will be concluded before the launch, we even thought at one stage. But Red Bull stuck to it, that they were going to make sure that they investigated this in a fair, rigorous way. It was an independent barrister, independent lawyer who was looking into it and ultimately providing a report to the Red Bull board to make a decision. And so it was really a question of when would that decision come out? And there were people who were kind of tracking Christian Horner's movements towards Bahrain and when he was on the flight and what that meant. Did that mean that because he's coming now, he's going to be in a position where the investigation dismisses the allegations against him? And it was kind of running quite late. We'd had all the media sessions that we have on a normal media day at the Formula One circuit. So all the drivers had spoken and it had been a conversation or had been a subject topic in a number of the press briefings and also within the paddock. It had been very much a conversation amongst people talking about what they knew when they thought we might hear something official. And then eventually about 6:30, we got the press release through from Red Bull, which was very straightforward. I can read it out if it helps. Yeah. It was, quote, "The independent investigation into the allegations made against Mr. Horner is complete, and Red Bull can confirm that the grievance has been dismissed. The complainant has a right of appeal." Continuing the quote, "Red Bull is confident that the investigation has been fair, rigorous, and impartial. The investigation report is confidential and contains the private information of the parties and third parties who assisted in the investigation, and therefore will not be commenting further out of respect for all concerned." Continuing the quote, "Red Bull will continue striving to meet the highest workplace standards." So while we got the key bit of information we were looking at, which is whether this investigation found Christian Horner, these allegations against Christian Horner to be worthy of disciplinary action or something like that or not, in fact they were dismissed, we got very little further information on the details of it. And of course there's been a huge amount of speculation in various different media outlets over the last few weeks, and I think that does leave a few questions still about what happens next.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that this was a Red Bull appointed investigation, certainly investigating one of their own employees, as you know most institutions or organizations would do. This wasn't an FIA investigation. This wasn't a Formula One investigation. I'm just curious, from your standpoint, Nate, what unanswered questions regarding this are still left out there?
Yeah, I think it's quite a lot. And I think they speak to that statement that Lawrence just read out and the fact that it is pretty vague, in terms of it's just got the headline news in there. And we kind of expected that was going to be the case. There's a lot of confidentiality, at play here. And I think that ultimately, I think for a lot of people, isn't going to be a satisfactory statement. When something's gone on as long as it has and when there's been some of the reports that Lawrence alluded to, I just don't think that Formula One is going to be able to kind of move on from this quickly. I think, we've got a few of the team bosses talking tomorrow as we record this, which would be Thursday. Notably not Christian Horner, but, I expect we'll talk to Horner at some point during the week. And I think that will be probably one of the buzzwords is transparency and, how much do we know about what's happened here? How much do we know about the investigation? And if you're Formula One and if you're the FIA, especially as the FIA, you've probably got a duty of care to the sport. You've probably got a duty of trying to find out what has actually happened there. From Formula One's point of view, I don't think this has been a really great look for Formula One, just the length this has taken, some of the ways that this is dragged out in the public eye. So I think a lot of this stuff is going to really have an impact, you know, longer term. I think that there's going to be a lot of questions asked. I think a lot of people are going to want to see, you know, a lot of really concrete stuff come out of this. And as Lawrence mentioned, you know, there is this process for an appeal here as well. So by no means is this, you know, a line drawn under, you know, underneath the matter for now. And yeah, I think that really, there are questions that need to be answered by both Red Bull, kind of by, you know, I suppose Red Bull senior company, Red Bull Racing really have been kind of following them for the time being. But I think as well, Formula One, their reaction to this is going to be scrutinized quite heavily because, you know, Formula One's talked a lot about, you know, improving the sport and improving, you know, certain things in terms of, you know, the makeup of the sport, in terms of diversity and stuff like that. And regardless of what this complaint was about, it was, you know, a female employee about a, you know, a male boss, which we've seen time and time again in the world. So that addressing that properly, I think, is going to be the right thing. It's a tricky one from our point of view because, you know, as Lawrence mentioned as well, you know, the this was an independent investigation, you know, so I think that it's always difficult to sort of say, oh, has this just been, you know, has this just been a one-way show? Has Horner just kind of ended up in power again because Red Bull's looking to protect him? There were real fears within Red Bull, you know, within Red Bull Racing, I think within kind of Horner's mind last week that this was going to go a different way. And, you know, the mood around that kind of changed this week. I think, you know, I'm going to say Jim or John Farley. I forget which Farley it is at Ford because his, the other one is the famous comedian Farley. Or is his brother or his uncle? But anyway, I always
Farley,
name the wrong one.
Correct?
Yeah, I always name the wrong one. It's currently the CEO. And it's been a long day, so the name has slipped my mind. But he put a lot of pressure on Red Bull this weekend, gone, you know, to speed this process up, expedite this process up. And I think that a lot of people I saw questioning, like, well, why is that? You know, why is it taken forward? I think it was kind of harsh on Formula One because Formula One had released similar statements saying that. But yeah, I think there's just a lot of groups now that the pressure's kind of on them to make sure that they have an appropriate response. And I think that they don't just let this kind of disappear into the wind. You know, there is a chance that the season starts, everyone starts talking about the racing again, no one starts talking about Christian Horner. And I think a lot of people would feel quite kind of let down by that. So I think just generally for the good of the sport, if there's any chance it can happen, kind of releasing all of these details would satisfy a lot of people. I just don't know from what Lawrence and I have been hearing. Yeah, I just don't know what Red Bull are going to be able to release. And ultimately, I just don't see how people are going to get clarity or, you know, get kind of closure over what's happened here. So obviously this is going to run and run, but yeah, I think that sadly, a lot of the unanswered questions that you allude to, Casey, I don't know if they're all going to have a kind of an immediate answer to them, which, you know, going into a season is just not a good look for Formula One, really. So I think it'll be something we come back to at some point.
You do. So you don't think that the book is closed here and that this matter is resolved and we're moving forward?
Well, I think for Red Bull, definitely that's the way they'll look at it. But I just think as a wider story, I mean, this is one of the most important people in Formula One,
sure,
one of the most popular people, or at least one of the most notorious people, depending on who you talk to. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just think it's the sort of story that has gained a lot of attention over the past 3 weeks. And because of the way it's been reported and because of, you know, there's been a lot of very strong opinions on it, you know, both on kind of both ends of the spectrum, I think. So whenever you have a story like that, I think people want to make sure they know what they're talking about. And yeah. So from that point of view, I can see it coming up again. And yeah, we'll see. I think kind of the next couple of days will determine how much that runs on, though.
Purely educational for our listeners and viewers, I just want to make the distinction.
Yeah,
Chris
yeah,
Farley is the comedian and actor who was iconic in Fat Guy in a Little Coat, if you know what I'm talking about. Jim Farley is his cousin and the Ford executive that made the comments that I think kind of parlayed this into speeding up a little bit because he was obviously very frustrated for the lack of transparency as somebody who is a big time sponsor and partner of Red Bull. Educational purposes.
apologies to get them both wrong in such an important point in the podcast, but it just popped into my head. I was like, I'm gonna get it wrong. So yeah,
I didn't
know Chris Farley as well. I knew it wasn't Chris Farley, but I thought if I say his name, it just kind of takes away from everything I'm saying. So thank you for clarifying, Katie.
I love it. We're obviously days away from the first Grand Prix of the 2024 season, so that in and of itself is incredibly exciting. There was a lot of drama, I would say, in the off season coming into the season. Cut your all's vacations and rest and recovery time, I'm sure, in short. But now the testing is done, we've seen all the cars on track. We have a better understanding post testing after we, you know, touched base last week after the first day, Wednesday. Fascinating storylines, I think, coming into the season, Laz. Couple off the top: is Max going to win his four straight drivers' championship? I think the odds right now say that he is. You know, we look to Mercedes and Ferrari to see if they can actually challenge for a championship. You know, obviously Checo is a storyline that continues to be one worth monitoring. Is he going to be able to secure that second seat with Red Bull and Max Verstappen as his teammate? I think there's a lot to unpack with McLaren. Just as you look at it, what's one storyline you're really excited to see play out early on in this 2024 season?
Well, what I'm hoping for is that the storyline is about how close the championship is and how much pressure Max Verstappen may come under in the defense of his fourth-world title. Sorry, in defense of his title to get his fourth-world title. I suspect that's not going to be the case, but I think it will be interesting to finally figure out how big the gap is between Red Bull and probably Ferrari in second place was, I think, everyone's best guess coming out of testing. And what we've got to remember as well is that, you know, this is a very specific track. We've seen 3 days of testing at one track, yet to see these cars really unleashed. And there were some positive signs from Ferrari, especially about how they were able to manage a race, how they were able to look after their tyres in a way that they simply couldn't do last year, and ultimately led to a lot of their inability to battle Red Bull. So I think that's exciting to see. And then on top of that, this Ferrari-Mercedes battle, even if it does turn into another battle for second place, it has an extra edge this year because Lewis Hamilton is leaving one team, Mercedes, to go to the other, Ferrari. And everyone will have an opinion about whether that's a right move or a wrong move. I think Lewis has actually been quite open today. I mean, we didn't, you know, listen to it or get stuck into it in terms of stories as much as we normally would, because we had, you know, all of the news about Christian Horner breaking. But some of the stuff, you know, he said about, you know, Mercedes and Ferrari and that decision, and how it's not necessarily down to the competitiveness of Mercedes. And I think also the way he's talked about his Mercedes at the start of this year, you know, I think he doesn't hate it. You know, the last 2 years, I think, if he'd been honest at this time of year,
it's progress.
He kind of did hate it. but this year, I think, you know, there's a little bit more to play with there. So seeing how those two teams battle against each other, and ultimately whether Lewis's decision, at least in the short term, is the right one or the wrong one, will be fascinating. And then, of course, we have the Lewis move, which is very exciting for next year. But in the wake of that, there's this driver market where any number of drivers, I mean, I went and did some of the media sessions with the drivers today. It's a much better structured system they have now, where you can almost go from team to team to team. And you start with, like, it's almost like reverse championship order. So you start at Haas, and then it's Sauber, and then it's RB, and then you move your way up. And it was interesting, you know, because a number of the drivers were asked about, you know, next year, and a lot of them are already kind of a little bit more bullish about, you know, what they're standing within the driver market and stuff like that. Whereas I would have thought usually at this time of year, most of them would be like, oh no, it's too early to start talking about like that. You know, let's come back to me in August and all that kind of stuff. But genuinely, that's, you know, I think there's a few people trying to stake their claim to some of the available seats. So, oh, I mean, I could go on. Like, we've got a whole podcast here, right, to talk about it. But there are so many interesting underlying storylines going on this year.
Well, to your point, the driver market, only seven drivers have contracts for the 2025 season. Both Red Bull and Mercedes will need a number two driver, or a teammate, if we don't want to call it a number two driver, for Max and George, respectfully. So I think that is a fascinating kind of bigger picture overarching theme that we'll stick with throughout the entirety of the 2024 season. Nate, where do you fall? What storyline most piques your interest early on here?
Well, I think for that, I'm going to go to the other end of the championship, because the story that we're seeing kind of develop, and it's going to be fascinating to see exactly how bad it is, but it's Alpine. You know, Alpine haven't been in, we talked about this in the testing show, and how Alpine never looked good at testing, but this year especially, the sounds coming out of Alpine, the sounds around Alpine are really, really negative. And the drivers today didn't exactly come out and say, hey, like they said, you know, you guys are being way too negative, we don't think we're going to be last. But if you look at that pack around Alpine, you've got a lot of teams that have been making progress in some tangible form. You know, Aston did, McLaren did last year, Ferrari, Mercedes are constantly kind of trying to fight their way back up to Red Bull. And you've got the spectre of kind of RB or VCarb. You know, I know we had the whole discussion last week, but they look like they're going to be really kind of competitive in that kind of behind that group. But I think they're going to have made a step. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Alpine to make sure that, I mean, at this point for Alpine, I think a successful season based on where they are in terms of where the narrative is around them is kind of just consolidating where they were last year, which is kind of mad because you think about all the investment that team had and the story around that team last year. There was a lot of positive energy coming out of it on one end, and then on the other end, it was again just a team kind of falling apart with, you know, Otmar leaving and all that stuff. So really curious to see about Alpine. And yeah, and you and Lawrence both mentioned it. I think the driver market this year, especially when we're in a season when all 20 drivers remarkably kept their seats, I feel like it's bubbling up towards something quite special. And I mean, those two, you know, the Alpine drivers as well. I mean, Ocon, I think, is one of the guys who is in a contract season. So, you know, where he drives next year is still uncertain. And actually, I think Ocon's a really fascinating character in that. I know a lot of people talk about Albon and Sainz, but Ocon... You know, I mean, I've always felt like Ocon, he deserves at least one season where he gets a really competitive car just to see, you know, he was always kind of tipped to have that and to be that guy. But there's loads of guys there. And, you know, and we've seen this in previous years, you know, thinking back sort of pre-COVID, especially when you had years like this, all it takes is one piece of the jigsaw puzzle to kind of fall into place. And then it's almost like Jenga after that, like everything just falls down and, you know, people are scrambling to move here and there. So I think that whoever kind of is the first to blink, and again, on top of this, there's this fascinating storyline around the Mercedes at the moment because of Kimi Antonelli in Formula 2. So I don't think Mercedes are going to rush into that decision, but you wonder how many other pieces around that may fall into place. But I think that Mercedes really in that situation still kind of can call the shots, because I think most drivers on the grid, if they have, you know, the chance to drive somewhere else next year, that Mercedes has surely got to be high on there. You know, you've got Red Bull and Mercedes, like you mentioned. So, yeah, I can't call it either. You know, every time you think about it, another driver pops into your head. You think, oh, yeah, you know, Albon or Ocon or, you know, whoever it is. So it really is going to be fascinating to see how that plays out. And obviously, if Kimi Antonelli has an amazing year in Formula 2, then we have, you know, an exciting new kind of wonder kid rookie to talk about, which... You know, it's always a fun storyline, especially when they go to the big team. You know, Lewis did it in 2007, and that was just amazing when he did that. We've not had a, you know, a hotshot rookie kind of go to a team that's maybe not championship caliber, but can maybe challenge for wins. So I think that would be mega.
Passion, drive, and patience. What brings home the winning trophy is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. From superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has got you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to turn your car into the MVP and bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So yeah, so that was, I gave kind of two there. What about you, Katie? Have you got any that stand out for yourself?
It's interesting. I guess I have recency bias, or just I forget since it was a year ago at this time, but I just forgot how poorly McLaren's season started. And then I was reminded, I'm slowly working my way through the Drive to Survive season. Have you guys finished it, or are you still working?
Not yet. Not yet. Not should yet. Have. Have had plenty of time to watch it, but just haven't.
I'm like two or three episodes in, and the second episode it revolves around McLaren and their really poor start to the 2023 season. to the point that Lando Norris is visibly frustrated. You can see that. I think that the relationship between he and CEO Zach Brown was becoming splintered. Zach Brown was on the chopping block. Not performing the way that they want. They have one of the best driver lineups, in my opinion, with two very, very young future world champions in the cars, and they're just not delivering. To think back to that turn of events, to be able to turn your season around in 6 months, I think is pretty unheard of. And I thought Claire Williams, who joins Drive to Survive as kind of a pundit, as a narrator, I thought she did a really nice job. It was interesting getting to hear her feedback as a former team principal. And, you know, she obviously can speak to it better than anybody, having been in that chair. But I'm really curious to see if McLaren can capitalize on the momentum that we saw in the back half of the season, right where they left off, or do they falter a little bit and it takes them, you know, to Miami or midseason to kind of find their stride again. I'm really, really curious to see where they're at, because I thought that was one of the funnest storylines of the 2023 season.
It's interesting you say that, because Lando Norris was talking about that exact thing today in the press conference, again, referencing that poor start last year and just how far off they were. I mean, we talk about Alpine being in a bad position this year. Well, actually, McLaren weren't, you know, far off a similar situation last year, and they were able to turn it around. And interesting as well, Esteban Ocon referenced McLaren as an example of how you can bring it back. I think the big difference there is that McLaren had some big upgrades coming. Mm-hmm. But to go back to this year and what Norris is expecting from this year, he's not sure it's going to be the best start to the season. But the other thing he said is that this is a circuit in Bahrain that really doesn't suit the McLaren. So, you know, I think that's why they've always had these struggles at testing. You know, they've always looked perhaps a little bit worse than they even are right at the very start of the year, because they're going into a track that just doesn't seem to suit their car. You know, they've the two weaknesses which they were still battling with even after that big upgrade midway through last year was low speed corners, of which there were a few crucial ones around Bahrain, and then also minimizing drag on the car. And while I think, you know, McLaren have quite clearly targeted those two areas, no one else stands still. And, you know, I think there'll be a case of being interested to see where McLaren pan out in all that. I still think there's a possibility, especially with Lando and Oscar in the car, that we see them, you know, comfortably in, you know, maybe even like top six territory this weekend. But the way Lando was talking about it, you know, I think he was kind of almost bracing everyone for, like, you know, if we're kind of struggling to make Q3, or we're at the back end of Q3, don't rule us out just yet, because one, look at what we did last year, and two, also this is a bit of a bogey circuit for them. So yeah, fascinating team to watch. And then conversely, on the other side to all that, almost with a reverse season of McLaren, was Aston Martin.
Yeah.
And, you know, this time last year, we were here saying, can Fernando Alonso win a race? Can he go back and win his first race since 2013? And I think they've had like they've definitely had a much quieter testing in terms of the hype around them going into this season. But I do get the feeling that that car is actually quite well developed. If you look at it, like, it's got a lot of like really interesting and kind of like detail that usually you might see later in the season in terms of what they've done with it. And I think it's also a car that's caught the eye of some of their rivals, including Red Bull. So yeah, potentially that's an interesting battle that's going to play out, because both of those teams, you feel like, could be in striking distance of Ferrari and Mercedes this weekend. Certainly Mercedes, they're a bit of an unknown factor. So, but equally, they could be scrabbling to get into Q3. And the real shame here is that this kind of not knowing where people are going to be, we're so close to having that with the whole field. It's just Red Bull and Max Verstappen and Adrian Newey are just a bit too good.
Don't say that. You mentioned the weekend. It's time for us to get to our first Grand Prix preview of the season. Testing has come and gone. Many people, I would say, believe that Red Bull is set to dominate another season in F1, as we have aforementioned. But some are not convinced the gap is as big as maybe we believe at this point, which I am all here for. I guess, Laz, I'd pose to you, some teams believe Red Bull, they were running higher fuel loads in testing so that their true pace still wasn't really revealed. How much truth is there to that? And could this gap actually be bigger than we believe?
Yeah, it could be. It could be. But the reason people were saying that is because basically the speed at which they were able to get down to very fast lap times on the first day. And then there was this belief, like, well, if they can do that immediately, they must have been hiding something further on. But talking to Checo Perez today, you know, he actually didn't have a great second day in the car. And, you know, he said even then he went straight into a race simulation. There were a bunch of things that weren't right on the car and they hadn't quite sorted. So this belief that they were absolutely 100% certain of where they were on the first day, I'm not entirely sure if that's correct. Now, part of that may be Perez and Max, because, you know, last year, and, you know, as much as I'd like to see Perez do well this year, last year, the difference between Perez and Max Verstappen could be at some circuits, you know, half a second, it could be the difference between Q2 and pole position, which is pretty wild. I'm hoping, and from what Checo's been saying, that he's going to have a better start. Well, he actually had quite a good start to the year last year, but he's going to be in a better position at the start of this year than he was at the end of last year. But there's this kind of belief that perhaps Red Bull holding something back. Now, I don't think that many teams actually truly intend to hold things back during testing. It's just that to get the information they need and the validation of certain things they need to do, a lot of the time it makes sense to run with more fuel in the car, especially when you're looking at how the tyres are going to perform over a race. Now, I know Nate will roll his eyes and start yawning at the mention of tyres, and arguably rightly so, because it's hardly the most thrilling subject in F1. But it is crucially important, and it's crucially important to scoring points on a Sunday, because if you're not looking after your tyres, you're quickly going to move backwards in the race. Ferrari found that last year. Haas was an awful example of that last year in terms of qualifying well, moving backwards. So a lot of that running later on, while, yes, you know, they probably were on quite a lot of fuel, I'm not sure it was that they didn't want the rest of the field to know. I think part of it is just that they were discovering stuff on their car and running tests on their car. And equally, you know, I don't think we saw the best of the Mercedes. We didn't see the best of the Ferrari. You know, we didn't see the best of any car we knew were doing testing. But, you know, even those guys, they could have been hiding or just simply doing runs on higher fuel because that's what they needed to learn in those very precious three test days. Remember, just three test days to get through everything and be comfortable going into a season.
Let the record reflect, no eye roll and no yawn from Nate Saunders.
I was holding both in. I was doing my best. I was like, come on, come on, keep it together. Keep it together for Laz.
Laz mentioned
I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Merck and Ferrari. The two obviously battled this last season for P2 for the Constructors' Championship. Mercedes ended up finishing P2 despite not winning a race the entire season. Betting on the W15 with Mercedes or the SF24 for Ferrari to bring the fight to Max, Checo, and Red Bull?
I think my money would be with Ferrari right now. You know, the consensus was it was the better of the two cars and definitely the closest. And I think it's close, because, you know, the positivity coming out of both those teams is clear. I think they both know they're a step behind Red Bull right now. But I don't know. I think over the course of a season, I think those two teams are probably best matched to take that fight to them. You know, I think we'll see McLaren come on strong again as the year goes on. But over the course of a season, yeah, it's funny with Ferrari, because I think we're so used to kind of there being a slightly negative tinge to everything Ferrari. But actually at the moment, you know, if you take away the fact they don't think they can win the championship, everything we're hearing is pretty good. Obviously, the Lewis news, I think, was a bit of a boost away from the track. But, you know, Fred Vasseur's leadership, I think, has really injected something into that team. And everything just seems to be going in the right direction. If you think about where they were mid to late 22 and what we were saying about them, what the fans were saying about them, it's really come on leaps and bounds. So I would put it on Ferrari, but I think that's going to be a super close battle all year. I can really see those two teams kind of exchanging positions in the competitive order for a lot of the season, because I think while Ferrari has the edge now, I think, you know, you just never bet against that Mercedes team to kind of make steps through the season. So yeah, it's good. I think that's going to, and you know, if only it was closer to Red Bull, you know, it would be a great three-way fight. It's a great two-way fight, but I feel like it's not quite justifying itself, because it needs to be that, you know, it needs to be right up there at the front. So that might be a little step away, but yeah, I think that's going to be awesome all year.
I think your point about Fred Vasseur is a good one. He just seems to have such a calm, kind of stable confidence about him, the way he carries himself. And I have to imagine that has a trickle-down effect with everybody working under him, for your drivers. I don't know. He feels like he's got a really stable demeanor about him. Not that Mattia Binotto and past team principals don't, but I like the confidence that he carries himself of, like, we're going to get this done at some point. When you look back, Laz, to last year's testing for Ferrari, kind of a horror show. Night and day difference, would you say, last year to this season?
Yeah, it is. And it, again, just goes down to the problems they were having, just chewing through tyres throughout testing. And then into the first race. And then, of course, remember they had all those reliability issues at the start of the year, and Leclerc was taking an engine penalty at the second race. And while that, I can't rule that out at this stage, obviously we haven't had a competitive session where they've used the engines and the power units that they're going to use for the whole season. It doesn't feel like they're scrabbling around in the same way. And I think you're right. You know, Fred has had a very kind of calming influence almost on the whole team. And it feels much more like what it should have been a long time ago, which is a long-term project. You know, so often I think Ferrari, the expectation and the, you know, the support is so great that the expectation is so high. And then there's this belief that they should just go and they should be winning championships immediately. And that's so difficult to do in F1. You need time. You need the ability to build a team. You need the ability to, you know, to put things in place. And what better way to build a team and to kind of, you know, anchor yourself to a long-term project than getting Lewis Hamilton in as, you know, your key driver going forward. And then we've heard a lot of stories about engineers, you know, moving towards Ferrari. And there's a few which are rumoured. There's a few which, you know, are on their way. And by building that kind of group of engineers and making Ferrari an attractive place to be, you know, and Lewis, I think, is going to be a huge draw for going forward with that. It's just another Ferrari that we're seeing going into this year. There's just that extra level of confidence, as you mentioned. Fred kind of, you know, holding his head that little bit higher, chest puffed out that little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing with Fred is that I think a lot of us, and myself included, probably underestimated him to start with. Okay. Because, you know, it comes from Alfa Romeo, Sauber, and, you know, you looked at his track record there and you're like, well, it's good enough. You know, I mean, they were okay, you know, at times, but they, you know, it's not like they were making huge leaps up the grid. But I think given the, given the position he's got now, he's really been able to show, you know, the true Fred Vasseur, what he's capable of. And I think, you know, in him, they have a very, very strong team boss to lead them into this new era with Lewis Hamilton, eventually a new set of regulations in 2026. So incredibly exciting time for Ferrari.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Outside of maybe the top teams or top drivers that we anticipate or expect to podium in Bahrain, Nate, any other driver or team you've got your eye on in this first Grand Prix?
Yeah, I mentioned them earlier, but I think everyone's kind of curious about VCarb and where they're going to be, just because they had an impressive test. They've obviously had all the Visa Cash App money come in, and yeah, they're just doing different stuff there. So I'm not sure whether, you know, I don't think they'll get podiums this weekend necessarily, but I say necessarily, I don't think they'll get a podium, just to clarify that. But I think over the course of the year, it'll be really interesting to see what their trajectory is and kind of where they are 12 months from now going into next season. You know, will obviously be defined a lot by where they are here. So I think I'm looking at them. Just to quickly double back on the Ferrari point, it's amazing, isn't it? Ferrari's last period of dominance was with a French team boss in Jean Todt. They've cycled through a few others since. They've gone back to France, you know, for the future. I just thought I'd jump on the Fred bandwagon, because I also was like Lawrence and like a lot of people in Formula One. I didn't think it was a great hire. I thought it was a bit underwhelming.
It was interesting.
Yeah. And actually he's proven a lot of people wrong, you know, and I think long may that continue, because obviously if he keeps proving people wrong, it means Ferrari getting better. Right. So, and we all love to see that.
And I know this is future talk, but my mind immediately goes, obviously, Toto Wolff and Fred Vasseur have a great working relationship. they seem to, at least as it's depicted in Drive to Survive this season that just came out last week, you wonder what that working relationship will be like for Fred Vasseur and Lewis Hamilton in a year's time, when Lewis has been, you know, so working so closely with Toto Wolff for many, many years. So I would love to see that dynamic play out, and I'm going to get to in a year's time, but I've got to focus on the 2024 season. So that leads me to our first podium predictions of the 2024 season. And we're going to button our shit up, people. Okay. Because last year I felt like I was a little all over the place with tabulating our results, keeping the points in order and updating everybody week after week. So Zach, you're going to keep me honest. Zach, our lovely producer, you're going to keep me honest. We're going to have a shared Excel sheet so everybody knows where they stand. And if you're traveling and you can't be on the pod, you have to get your predictions in before you travel. Okay.
Okay.
Everybody swear with the rules. Fair. I should mention that.
I want to point out that this fell apart last year, just around the time I think I took the lead. So, you know, I'm not into conspiracy theories. You know, call me, maybe I'm the Danica Patrick of the pod all of a sudden, but like I definitely noticed that last season. That's all I'm saying.
That was clever. I love that. Okay, look, rules go as like this. You get 1 point for correct prediction. It has to be in the right. You can't just get somebody in the top three. You have to actually place them in their podium position. Okay. And then you get 3 points, three additional points. If you get the Holy Trinity, you nail all three in their rightful positions. Fair?
Nice. Yeah, that's fair.
That sounds good.
Okay.
There's a big incentive there because that is tricky to do that, all three.
It is. Well, actually, no.
It rarely happens.
Nate, since you said that you were leading last year when it all fell apart, you can start.
I didn't think about that through. Okay. Well, I'm going to put Max first, and then I'll put Charles Leclerc second. And just purely for the storyline vibes, let's put Lewis Hamilton in third. So he and Leclerc are on the podium together, straight up. But yeah, I think it doesn't sound like I'm a big Perez fan, does it? Because he was second here last year and he's had an off season to recover. So apologies to Sergio Perez. I'm just going more for that Charles Leclerc and Lewis Hamilton on the podium together thing. But at the detriment of my own points, right? So, you know.
He always does this.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
He argues against his picks.
I do. But hey, I mean, there's method to the madness, apparently.
I love it. I dig it. Okay, Laz, what say you?
My gut feeling, I'm not just saying this, was exactly Nate's pick, but I'm going to pick something different because we can't have the same, you know, that wouldn't be right. So I'm going to go with Max first. Surprise, surprise. Checo second. Believe in Checo. Fundamentally, I believe in the quality of that RB20 and how quick it is versus the rest of the field. And then Lewis Hamilton third.
Okay, very similar. Just an exchange of Checo and Charles Leclerc. I dig it. Okay, I'm going to go with Max Verstappen to win. I'm going to go with Carlos Sainz finishing P2 because I think he's got a lot to prove and wants to do this when he steps out of the car in Bahrain.
Which I'd love to see as well.
I would. That's I really would. And then I'm going to go with Checo Perez rounding it out P3 behind Carlos Sainz.
Nice. Solid. Katie, I think that's a really smart pick because Carlos Sainz, I think when he has a point to prove, he's always driven like that. He's a real kind of bit between the teeth kind of driver.
Yeah, and chip on the shoulder, I think, is going to serve him well. Maybe that's what I'm hoping, at least.
Yeah, quietly, it's just kind of been smoldering away inside him. So I think that's a good pick.
Yeah, and Leclerc has rotten luck around here. I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't really believe in luck in Formula One, but he does have particularly bad luck. So, yeah.
I didn't believe in luck in Formula One until Charles Leclerc.
I was going to say. If you didn't believe in luck, he's the true sample size.
He's made me believe in luck.
Well, here's to good fortune for Charles Leclerc this season, because we'd all love to see it. As always, thank you both for your time, your analysis. Get some rest. Enjoy race weekend. We can't wait to hear all about it. And we can't wait to see all of you on Saturday. Remember, the race is on Saturday, not a Sunday. And we will have our live ESPN on YouTube and Facebook pages with instant reaction to the Bahrain Grand Prix with our live show. So be sure to check that out. And we will see you next week on Unlap to wrap up Bahrain and preview the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix as well. Cheers, guys.